If you'll take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 1. I'll make it easy on you. We're going to begin in verse 18 and read all the way down through verse 25. If you'll please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. We're going to go ahead and read responsively. You read the even verses along with me out loud, and I'll read the odd verses by myself out loud, all beginning together in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Here we are in Matthew chapter 1. And again, I understand that this is not Christmas time, and that we're talking about the birth of Christ and these events that led up to it. But as we take a look and think about God in our lives, and we talked about that God said to Moses and to the children of Israel, I am that I am. And folks, we've got to reset our minds. The Bible talks about in the New Testament that we need to renew our minds. So if we need to renew our minds, then we have to have, when he says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And we're supposed to be like-minded in all of these things that the Bible speaks of. That means there must be something wrong with the natural state of our mind. The natural state of our mind is not what God wants it to be. That's why he says in Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God tells us that we need a different kind of thinking. And folks, our thinking cannot come from a certain church. And our thinking cannot come from a certain religion. And our thinking certainly cannot come from this world. It's got to come from the Word of God. And God has to be real to us. And God has to exist. So we've got to rest in the fact that God is the I am of our life. It just has to be that way. If it's not that way, then we're not what we're supposed to be for God. If God is not the end all of your life, if that's not all that your life is and is about, then we've got it wrong. We've got to make sure that God is the one that exists and that he exists in us. And how is it that God exists in us? It's through his son, Jesus Christ. Oftentimes I've had to help people understand. We serve a triune God. God the Father. Guess what, folks? God the Father is on the throne. Yeah, he is. And he's never left it. Who do you think orchestrates all of this? God the Father does. Who's in charge? God the Father. Okay? There are some times that I have to help my children to understand that they are children and I am the Father. Okay? I'm in control of everything. You're not. Some of my sons are trying to grow into young men, which is fine. I'm for that. But I have to remind them that I'm still the father and you're still the son.
that you may have some good ideas. That's fine. But I'm the Father. And if I decide not to use your idea, tough. And your idea might be better than mine. I don't care. I'm still the Father. And if I decide to use your idea, great. If I don't, great. You said it, Brother Harold. That's right. Because that's what it is. You know, we have great ideas. Sure we do, right, folks? But when God's ideas are not what we think should happen, we rebel. We mutiny. We revolt. You know, God, you don't know what you're doing. My way, no, your way's not better. Your way's not higher. He's God the Father. He's in control. He orchestrates all. And so we understand that that's how, we talked about all those things last week, how God the Father exists, how God the Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah exists, and how God the Holy Spirit exists in our lives. So today as we kind of move along in this thought process, as we work on our minds, as we work on our thinking, as it pertains to God, we've got to understand that Jesus Christ plays a big role in that thinking. How are we to have the mind of Christ if we don't know Christ? How are we to have new life in Christ, as it says in 1 Corinthians, if we don't have Christ at all? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So as we think about our life and our existence with God, He is the I Am. He is God the Father. He is the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, the all-powerful one. He is the one that we ought to serve, we ought to love, we ought to have all of our being and all of our mind and of our soul and our strength. God is God. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's our Savior. The Bible says that He was sent to this world. It was fulfilled by the prophet, what the prophet said in Isaiah. In Isaiah 7, it says, "Ask of thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord." And he said, "Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings." This foretelling of the Christ, which being interpreted in Matthew, it tells us, is God with us. So if God the Father is on the throne, then how are we to be able to, if you will, exist with God here? How can we have God as a part of our lives? Well, Jesus Christ was sent. God sent His Son. God did these things so that we can have the Savior. You understand that God, in the part of the Son, is to do the work of the Father. How many times did Jesus say, "I'm here to be about my Father's business," right? I'm here to do the work that He sent me to do and to accomplish. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, "This is my Father's work. This is the work that He's sent me to do and to accomplish." And did He accomplish said work? Yes. Remember His final words on the cross? "It is finished." Folks, I tell you, to know the finished work of Jesus Christ is to know life in Christ. Do you know the Savior? Do you know the Messiah? He's Emmanuel, God with us. He was sent into this world. He is the Christ child. Turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And as Christians, we're to let our light so shine before men. We ought to be, with salvation, having Christ in us and shining through us. The world needs to see Jesus, folks. How are they going to see Him if we don't tell them? How are they going to see Him if we don't let Him shine through our lives? God exists. We know that God exists. But God exists in us through Jesus Christ, His Son. We have salvation. We have accepted the light. We have received the light, those of us that are believers in Christ. But maybe today, you don't know if you die today, you go to heaven. Maybe today you're not sure of salvation. Can I say to you, uncomprehend, I don't know what I want to say there, the darkness. The darkness doesn't comprehend the light. Receive Christ as your Savior today. He's the true light. He's the one that shines in darkness. Look at verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You can know Christ as your Savior today. I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope that Jesus Christ exists in you because of salvation. Remember what the angel said at the birth of Christ. It said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus Christ is that Savior. As you look at John 1 here, we see in verse 40, it says, one of the two which heard John speak followed him, which was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. We ought to be bringing people to Jesus Christ. Those of us that know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, exists in us, in our lives, as we abide with Him and He abides with us, as we are, as the branches are filled with all the wonderful goodness and sustenance that the vine supplies, we ought to be sharing Christ with others. We ought to be the witnesses that God wants us to be. Do people know you're a Christian? Moses said, God, when I go to the people of Israel, who should I tell them has sent me? What did he say? Tell them I am has sent me unto you. Folks, when we talk to people, when we go to people, when we're with people, when we have an opportunity to talk to someone or have a conversation with someone, do they know that God exists? Do they know that Jesus Christ, the Savior, exists in your life? Hey, remember when Moses met with God up on the mountain? What happened when he came back down? His face was glowing. What did they know? Yeah. They knew that he had been with God. In the New Testament, we read about how the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even though they were void of true knowledge of the Savior, they understood that these men had been with Jesus. Can people see the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Is your life aglow with the light of the world that is Jesus? Can they tell that Jesus exists? You say, but Pastor, it's good for us to live that way, and I'm going to let my life shine before men that they may see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. But I want to ask you, that's wonderful. We ought to have a good testimony. We ought to live right. We ought to let Jesus shine in our lives. But we've got to open our mouths and tell them that Jesus exists. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. And all I want to ask you is day by day, are there people that are in your life that you get a chance to talk to, that you get a chance to meet, that you get a chance to be around, that, oh, they can see your life and they can see your testimony and they can maybe even see the light of Jesus Christ in your life. But do you tell them that he exists? Moses went to the people of Israel and said, I am hath sent me unto you. The one who exists sent me. And as we go out, and as the Bible says in the book of Acts, as it says in Matthew 28, as it says in Mark 16, 15, that we should be witnesses. We should preach the gospel. We should go and teach all nations. We need to open our mouths and tell them that Christ the Messiah lives. He exists. And he exists in us. We have received his salvation. We abide with him as he abides with the Father. In John chapter 6, Jesus asked his disciples if they would they would also go away because things were difficult. And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as the disciples took the great commission and went forth, they spake boldly. They went around, scattered abroad to all these different towns, in all these different nations, in all these different places, and they preached the word of God boldly. People were saved. Churches were started. The gospel fires were raging around the known world at that time. Can I ask you a question? What's wrong with us? You know, it ought to be that all these years later, from the start of the church till now, that we should be making some headway in this matter, shouldn't we? You say, but Pastor, we are. Are we? If you take the world's population, how many do you suppose, percentage-wise, of the world's population even knows that God exists? I think it's a small percent of the world's population. You say, but a lot of cultures and a lot of people know that God exists. Oh, they may. Or some sort of God exists. Remember what Paul said to the people in Athens. This sign of the unknown God, him I declare unto you, right? They didn't even know about him at that time. You say, well, Pastor, there's no way that people in America don't know that God exists. Oh, really? You know that outdoor knocking? I have actually met people that have never seen a Bible. I have met people that have never entered a church of any kind. And I even met one guy that didn't even know the name of Jesus. He had never heard it before. In America, in Texas, Yeah. You understand that we've got to make sure that they know the Messiah exists. What did Andrew do? He brought his brother, he went to his brother and he said, "Hey, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ." Peter, we've been reading about this since we were kids. We've gone to the synagogues. We've been to the teachings. We've read through the scriptures. And now, Peter, I found him. You need to come. You need to see him. Folks, if you've found Christ, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you need to let somebody know that he exists. Because he does exist. He is real. And folks, listen, he's not just some prophet. He's not just some good man. He's not just some servant of the Lord that is honest and true and such and so forth. No, he is God. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Lamb of God. He's the resurrection and the life. Remember what he said to Martha when Lazarus had died? He said, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." In 1 John it tells us, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is a spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Folks, we got to let people know that Jesus Christ exists. We need to let them know that God exists. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know that all we need is a faith is a grain of a mustard seed. That's not much, is it? But we can believe because it's by faith and we're saved. It says in Ephesians, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God wants us to do the work of God. He wants us to let people know that he exists. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is our Savior. Is he your Savior today? Do you know Christ is your Savior? If not, today can be that day of salvation for you. The second thing I want you to understand is that not only do we need to let people know that Jesus Christ exists as the Savior, but he exists as the source of our supply. What are you trusting in to make it day by day? What are you relying upon day by day? Are you relying upon God, or are you relying upon yourself? Our source of supply must be the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 15, it says, "O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Is God your daily supply? As the children of Israel traveled through the wilderness, who supplied everything for them? God did. Who supplied their food? God did. Who supplied the water for them? God did. Who supplied the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to protect them and to provide for them? God did. As they went into the promised land, who supplied everything for them, including the victories? God did. What kinds of houses and what kind of land did he give them? A land flowing with milk and honey. Houses that they did not build. Vineyards that they did not plant. Crops that they did not plant. All these things, it was all given to them. By whom? By God. Because he exists. And he was the source of their supply. And what were they warned from Moses and from Joshua? Don't get to a place where you're satisfied and you forget God. Folks, we have it pretty good in America. I know that maybe some of you are going through some financial difficulties. You may be going through some tough times. But can I tell you something? You're still richer than most of the world. Even the poorest of us here in America are richer than most of the rest of the world. Just ask any of these missionaries. I was just talking with Brother Alvarez about Belize and the people there. He said the average weekly income in Belize is $50 a week. Now, how many of you think you could live off of $50 a week? Okay, we got one teenager that thinks they can live off of $50 a week. Amen. You, Brother Mr. Dart, you can change his allowance down a little bit, okay? $50 a week. We're upset if we don't have quite a bit more than that, aren't we? We just can't make it. But what are we trusting in for our supply? Jesus Christ exists. He's the source of our supply. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you told someone else that Jesus Christ is your supply? You know, all the time, I've kind of been ingrained in me. I guess my father was kind of like this. I remember times where he used to go and gather the extra Sunday newspapers in town, and he bring them home, and we'd spend Sunday afternoon sorting or Monday or whatever day it was sorting out the coupons. Remember when they had coupons in the newspapers, and we'd sort them out, and he even had little clips, and we'd cut them out, and he had shoe boxes all alphabetized, and we'd put all the coupons in there, and then he'd look through the sales at the store, and we'd go and buy 2 cases of green beans and, you know, get them for 5 cents a can, you know, because Dad had coupons, and it was double coupon day, and it was on sale on top of that. So I guess I'm just ingrained in looking for good deals, I guess. That's just kind of built into me. But can I tell you something? Every time I go to the store, and God allows our family to get something nice, you know what I don't do? I don't come home and say, look at what your father found for you. Look at what your dad provided for you. You know what I love to do? I love to come home and say, look at what God allowed our family to have. Look at what God supplied for our family. You know, when I talk to our brothers and sisters in Christ about things that happen in our lives and different things that work out financially. You know what I love to say? I love to say, look what God did for us. You know what I love when folks are able to maybe have a new vehicle or get a new home or get a new job? You know what I like to say? Look what God provided for them. We don't need to get envious and jealous about what other people have. God is the source of our supply. And we need to let them know that Jesus Christ is our supply. Folks, he's the only way we have to get to heaven. He supplied for us eternal life. Are you willing to share with someone your personal testimony? Look at what God did for me. He saved me out of the miry clay, and Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross and paid for my sins. You know, your testimony is one of the most powerful things that you have, to tell other people that Jesus Christ exists as your supply. Oh yes, he's the Savior, but he's also our source of supply. Remember the debate that Jesus had with the Pharisees He said in John chapter 6, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God, which is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that has sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. You understand that God is our source of supply. Jesus Christ is our source of supply. We need to let people know that he exists as our Savior. We need to let people know that he exists as our source of supply. And then lastly today, I just want to mention this to you. That not only do we need to let people know that God exists in our life, that God the Son exists in our life as our Savior and as our source of supply. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to John 13, just a few chapters over from where we were last. John chapter 13. We need to let people know that Jesus Christ exists as our master. Our master. As in, he's the one in charge of our life. How often do we love to take control? We want to be in control, right? That's one of the reasons why I like to drive everywhere, because I like to be in control. But you know, I've told you this before, and maybe I shouldn't be so bold and so, mean. But you know, these people that have these bumper stickers, Jesus is my co-pilot, stupid. He's not the co-pilot. Let him be the pilot. You know, we have that song in our hymn books, right? Oh, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Yeah, he needs to be the one steering the ship, not us. He needs to be guess who he is? He's the master. He's the one in charge of our life. Look at John 13, verse 12. He says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord. And ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. You understand, folks, that Jesus Christ is not just our Savior. He's not just our source of supply. But we've got to tell people that Jesus Christ exists as our Lord and Master. Oh, we say that Jesus Christ is Lord. We say that he is the Master. But do we live our lives and do we speak in such a way that people know that he is our Lord and Master? He told the disciples, hey, you say that I am, now show it. Now do it. Now live it. Now speak it in your lives. Folks, the thing is that we've got to understand that he is our Savior. He is our source of supply. But He is our Lord. How many, now come on, be honest. How many times do we really live like He's Lord of our life? How many times when we speak and tell people about Christ, if we do at all, that He is the Lord of our life? He's the one in charge. He's the one in control. We've surrendered our rights to Him. We've surrendered ourselves to Him. We're like the servant that decides to take that awl and have it driven through his ear and say, by signifying, I want to serve Him. I want to forever be His servant. Is that what folks know of you? Or do they know that you're in control and you make the decisions and you do this and you do this? No, it's not us, but Christ in us. That's valuable. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the one in our lives that is in control, if we'll allow Him to be. You know, any servant, any person that's under someone else has a choice to either let the person in charge be the master or the Lord or not. Are we going to rebel against Him? Are we going to usurp authority over Him? It is not for us to do that. It is for us to follow, to submit to our Lord and Master. Jesus said that we'd be happy if we followed Him and let Him lead in our lives. Do you have happiness today? Do people know that happiness is found in you because of Jesus Christ, your Master? I just wanted to help you understand that we need to change our thinking. That Jesus Christ, the one that exists, has to be the Savior, the Messiah. He has to be the source of our supply. And He has to be the Lord and Master of our lives. And not just in deed, but in word also. We need to tell people that He exists. As we close today, my heart's desire is that those that do not know Christ as their Savior would know that He exists today, would accept Him as their Savior. And those of us who've already accepted Jesus Christ would live a life that would be apparent that He exists in us as our Savior, as our source of supply, and as our Lord and Master.